Welcome to the Soul Centered Podcast. This is Baruch Halevi. I am here in the studio with Ariella Halevi, my wife and co-founder of Soul Centered. I'm sure many of you know by now, but Soul Centered is a spiritual center for meaning, purpose, and healing for anybody, especially in the afternoon of life. The afternoon of life, midlife onwards, there's no hard and fast rule as to when that begins because, you know, midlife, who knows how long we live, but the afternoon of life is the second half of life or the next phase in life that we move into where we need new goals and new rules and new tools. And that's why Ariella and I founded Soul Centered, so that we could provide those new pathways for people to discover meaning, purpose, and healing in the afternoon of life. You hear some background noise. There's a fire somewhere. Whenever there's fire engines, we're pretty close to a firehouse where I always say a little blessing. So I just send an intention. I think it's a great practice to think, you know what? They're going to save somebody. And so just kind of sending a little intention that direction. And with that, Ariella, what's happening in your life?
I think you probably know. You live with me. You know what? I've been thinking a lot lately about our world. And I think that this is a really good opportunity to talk about this. I think that there's just so much going on. Political turmoil, raging fires, torrential hurricanes, social upheaval. There is so much going on. It's like 2020 is jam-packed with lots and lots of activity.
Lots.
And it's so easy for all of us included, to really get caught up in it. And, you know, I just really want to talk about that today, how to not get caught up in the turmoil. And I think that you and I personally have gone kind of up and down with that and have finally gotten to a really good place where we don't allow all of that to sink into our day-to-day lives.
But yeah, I'd say it still kicks my ass. you know, it depends on the day, but we have definitely grown during this process.
Absolutely.
And it's been a learning curve. And like everybody else listening right now, I did a lot of what not to do. Don't do this, because I tried this and it doesn't work.
Right.
And so a lot of backtracking and self-reflection and evaluation. And I agree with you. We're growing through it.
I think also, you know, right now we're in the middle of the Jewish high holidays. And for us, it's a very, it's a time of introspection. It's a very important time of year.
It's super easy now.
It's super easy. We have no synagogue to go to. Last weekend, Rosh Hashanah, we rented an RV. And we spent the weekend in the mountains.
I used to have a congregation of a few thousand. Now there was six of us. And the six of us at times was harder than the few thousand.
That is true. That is true. But it was definitely a different time. And I always think, you know, this year is always so intense, especially when you were a practicing rabbi and we had a large congregation. It was like we always called this tax season. Right? It was just so intense. And this is a spiritually intense time anyway. We just came into the fall equinox. This is a very moment in time when the seasons change, when especially fall is a time of transformation and manifestation. And it's something that just kicks your ass anyway. So on top of that, you have this world in, you know, 3D. Like we're just getting our asses kicked left and right. And so the question is, how do you handle it? How do we handle life on speed? And I think that we're going to discuss this today to really get in the nitty-gritty, because we all need help.
And, you know, that's why we're calling this one Take Back Your Power.
Mm-hmm.
During times of chaos, during all of life's transitions, we talk a lot about life's T's. Tests, trials, traumas, tragedies, and especially in the afternoon of life, because, you know, whether it's COVID, whether it's the environment, whether it's political turmoil, there's always stuff outside of ourselves. Always. So preparing ourselves for the afternoon of life as a time to face these T's and whatever life brings us, and not outsourcing our power, giving away our power, losing our power, but taking back our power.
I agree. I think it's like time for us to all take a collective deep breath of embodiment, you know, and just really, I think especially in the beginning of pandemic, the big message was, it's okay to escape. It's okay to give yourself a break, escape into Netflix, escape if you need to eat, if you need to rest, if you need to escape, then we all have a collective permission to escape. And I think now, you know, we're 6.5 months in, and this is our reality. This is what we're living in right now. And this is the time to say, now is time to take a collective deep breath of embodiment and embody what's going on and look around and open our eyes and feel it and really be in it. Because guess what? It doesn't seem to be going away.
Well, you know, it's not just COVID anymore.
Exactly.
And there's always stuff outside. You know, as Paul Harvey said, in times like these, there have always been times like these. Maybe these are unique in some ways, but, mm-hmm. you know, it isn't 1944 in the midst of World War II.
Right.
You know, there aren't, you know, concentration camps that are rounding up Jews right now. So, yeah, in some ways it's horrible. In some ways it's been worse. Black Plague and other things. There's always trauma and turmoil outside of ourselves. We just have to learn how to respond and not react. And I think that takes us really into the heart of the conversation today, right?
Exactly. This is not the time to shrink. You're right. In times like these, there have always been actually worse times like these. And so this is the time to rise. There is an opportunity here for us to stop shrinking in fear, to live in more abundance versus scarcity, to stop being divisive. Yes, in the world, we want to stop divisiveness, but that starts in our homes.
Starts in our hearts.
Yeah, that's true. Starts in our soul, right? And so this is a time to stop escaping. It's a time to feel our emotions, to rise to your health. You know, the first few months of COVID, I watched myself. I don't tend to overeat so much, but
I do.
You like your cookies and your chocolate, but I don't. But what I did was I overdid it on the things that I do like to eat. You know, even someone who eats healthy can still overeat. And I found myself, I just kind of escaped into the food and into the TV. And there's nothing wrong with that, except I...
Well, there is if you lose control.
Yeah, and I think I actually felt like I lost control because, you know, it happened. And this is why I share this. Is what happened is it started with my food, and then it continued into too much Netflix. And then what happened was it destroyed my mood, and it destroyed my positivity, and it destroyed my connection to my light. And I found myself, I would say about a month and a half, 2 months ago even, I found myself in a hole. And I thought, if I don't dig myself out of this one, I'm going down just like the rest of, just like the world thinks we're going down.
You know, you can't really dig your way out of a hole.
Did I say that?
Yeah. You can dig further into the hole.
I can climb out of the hole. Thank
She's
you.
She's always mixed metaphors.
I have a lot of metaphors, and I like to mix them up. Just like my mother.
But point well taken. And let's give people, because, you know, it's such an abstract, big, chaotic, scary thing. Let's just spend our time giving people concrete steps to get out of the hole. A ladder, step by step. You know, what are things we can do? And I'd love to start with that one that you brought up. I've been working a lot with clients right now on a saying by Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, if you're going to sin, sin bravely. Mm-hmm. Right? And to me, that always meant there are different levels of, I don't know, sin is the right word, to stray, to live as your inauthentic self. And there are times, and let's take Netflix, right? There's a difference between losing yourself in Netflix and choosing to lose yourself in Netflix, right? When you're just, or the cookies, or whatever your way of escaping is, there's a difference between not realizing you're doing it, just going to the fridge and looking in there and saying, I have no idea why I'm looking in here, versus saying, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to watch Netflix. I'm going to carve out some time. I know it's not my highest self, but I also need a break.
I think we all need permission to give ourselves that break and to consciously choose to numb out to Netflix, 100%. I think the challenge is that it's easy to stay in that decision.
It's not a decision. At some point, it's no longer just a decision. You're just doing it. You don't realize you're doing it.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think part of it is that you give yourself permission to, let's say, watch Netflix. But after a while, you think that you deserve the permission. The world is falling apart. I continue to deserve, you may be conscious about it, I continue to deserve to watch exorbitant amount of Netflix. And I think after a while it becomes a habit. So that's the issue. You have to keep watch on where it becomes a habit and when it is just giving yourself, of course, like we all should, time to just numb out.
Well, I don't know if it's an of course, because I talk to a lot of people who start making everything about perfection, right? So I'm going to, you see it all the time with people dieting, with people creating systems that they can't possibly sustain. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. You've got to have realistic goals, realistic expectations. You're looking at me like you disagree.
I totally agree.
So, it's like making a conscious choice. I'm going to watch a Netflix show, right? Because I know beyond that, after an hour, I start to disintegrate.
Twitchy,
right? I start to feel like it's no longer about taking a break. It is about numbing.
Absolutely.
At that point.
Absolutely.
And at that point, I can tell myself I have free will. I'm choosing to watch. But I know that it's not my higher self. I guess that's the point. Of really listening to what part of myself is making this choice. And if it's a true, authentic choice, it's coming from a true, authentic self.
I agree. And going along with the lines of making choices, I think when we are faced with, we are all faced with challenges. So the added 2020 just puts like that, the cherry on top. It's just an added huge, pandemic is a huge cherry. And I think that we all have to make the choice. And how do we make that choice to stop shrinking, to stop running? How do we make those conscious choices? And I think we should go through some of the ways, tangible ways, that we can choose life, that we can choose our light. I think one of the first ways would be to be vulnerable. The other day I was talking to a client and she said, my first step in getting out of my darkness and my mood and my negativity is that I called somebody and I was vulnerable with my pain. And I thought that's a really good first step, is to be truthful. I saw this on Facebook last night. A woman in her midlife, she must be about 50, she wrote the best post I've seen in a long time. And you know what it was? It was that perimenopause sucks. That she cries for 2 weeks out of the month, that she's gained weight and doesn't know how to live like this, that she's alienating her friends and family, that she feels lost. She probably had 60 to 100 comments. Why? Because she chose to be vulnerable. We all are going through stuff. And when we open to others, it makes them feel safe and comfortable to open up to us.
And I think, when you say choose to be vulnerable, some people will say, I don't know what that means exactly. But, vulnerable is just one description of what you're talking about, which is, in other ways, is honest. Like, Be honest about your struggle. Just be honest. You don't have to see yourself as so many people I talk to almost start apologizing. It's not the end of the world. It's not, I call it the suffering Olympics. Well, I only lost my parent. I didn't lose a child.
Right.
Well, that is actually a non sequitur. So what? Thank God you didn't lose your child, but it doesn't diminish your pain by the fact that thank God your children are still living. And yes, you lost your parent.
Mm-hmm.
And just be honest about that it's painful, and that's okay. And you're allowed to say, I'm really struggling with COVID. I'm really struggling with the political debates right now. It's tearing apart my family. Whatever it might be, just start there and just be honest about it.
Right. I mean, I think that's part of what we call owning your power, right? It's like feeling like you have 2 feet on the ground, that you are the master of your life. And there's, I feel that in the work that I do with healing, I can feel when we are grounded versus when we are oming and sitting in our power. It feels ungrounded to let the world just take you, right? When we let ourselves be taken by life's transitions, tragedies, and tribulations, we're going to be in bed. We'll never get out. So the conscious choice is to share and be truthful and vulnerable with those people in your life. And that goes to the next step, which would be look at opening to our relationships and repairing and and being vulnerable in our deepest relationships. Sometimes it's easier to put things on Facebook and more or less vulnerable than actually looking at the person that you live with and saying and telling and being and exposing your pain.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? That it would be mm-hmm. easier to put it in front of billions than it would in front of one.
Yeah.
But billions, there's no intimacy.
Right.
Right? One person, there's intimacy. And it doesn't have to be just a significant other. You have intimacy, says Wayne Dyer, with those who are closest to you. And so I think what you're also saying is, right, know your tribe. Have a tribe during these times. Nobody goes it alone. You can't go it alone. There's nothing you can do alone, ultimately. Nothing. Everything's dependent on somebody, either in the moment or having come before you. And I see so often this ridiculous kind of American trope of pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody pulls themselves up by their bootstraps. Everybody needs other people. And during times of chaos, it is critical that you be honest and you say, I need other people. And like you say, reach out to them.
Right. I think it's really important because what it does is it repairs our relationships. When someone close to me opens up to me and exposes their heart, then I feel safe to expose my heart. And what you've done is repair some of your relationships. Our closest relationships always have strife. Like we always, you know, if you've been married or if you're in a long-term relationship or even a coworker, nobody is perfect. We all have our imperfections, and sometimes that rubs up against us in the wrong way. And so when we are vulnerable and share our hearts, then we are able to become closer to those people. So that's repairing our relationships. And the next step would be repairing the relationship with yourself, right?
Totally. You know, before we go on to the next step, just one last thing about that. And you said something very important. You said, I, Ariella, feel open-hearted when people share with me. But what we're saying here is the opposite, because if you want to own your power, if you want to be in the driver's seat, you can't wait for other people to open themselves. You actually have to initiate it, especially, as we say in Hebrew, davka, specifically when the person isn't opening their heart. Because if you're sitting around waiting, you're powerless. You're in reaction. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of whatever's outside of us is that it's outside of us and we can't control it. All we can control, which takes us into your next step, is our response. And that begins, you know, I don't know if we have a label for this next step, but I would say it's our first step in our new forthcoming program. We'll tell you more about Own Your Power. But the first step is make time. Create space. Put yourself at the center. This is a huge one. You say it, you see it. I know I see it with my clients. They believe it's selfish to do some of this work, right? Because there's so many people to serve. There's so many people they're responsible for. One of the first things I always say is it's not selfish. It's self-centered. And there's a big difference. If you're not at the center of your life, then it's a version of you in relationship with them. And nobody wants a version of you. They want you. But how are you supposed to be you if you're out on the periphery, if you're in the perimeter and you're running around and you're never at your center?
The challenge with that, and I totally agree with you, the challenge with that is that a lot of us feel alone when we are trying to figure out how to be self-centered. Many of us don't know how to do that because when we sit down and actually make that time for ourselves, we feel empty. Many, many people feel empty and don't know where to turn. So the question is, and you know, as we progress into this, then how do we allow ourselves to make that time to be self-centered or soul-centered when we don't know where our soul is or what it even is?
Well, that's the first part of that step, is to do it. You know, you don't feel it? Okay, do it anyways. It's a misconception to think that spirituality just happens, right? If you look at spiritual disciplines, they're disciplines. Mm-hmm. Buddhists don't just sit around and say om whenever they feel like it, right? The great Buddhist masters sat through rigorous discipline, even if they didn't want to, especially if they didn't want to. And it's about making time and committing. You know, if you commit to a friend to go out to coffee and you don't show up, that's just rude. Mm-hmm. If you commit to yourself to make this time, to sit in quiet and you don't show up, that's just rude.
Right. But we don't always see that as we don't make ourselves important like we could and like we should.
And I think because what you're saying is because we're afraid of what we'll find in that coffee conversation with ourselves.
That's right.
Or not find.
That's right. And what I found is that it took a long time for me to realize that, you know, when you make that time, I have a special chair in the outside of our bedroom. And
you do not sit in that chair. If it's her time. She'll let you sit in the chair if it's not her time.
Nobody moves my chair.
But if it's her time, you do nobody. Not sit in that chair.
And, like, it kind of opens up into our bedroom. So if Baruch is
you don't
not
even be in the
awake
bedroom.
Yet,
just don't even be in the bedroom. And if you're in the bedroom, don't breathe.
And then I was just going to say, if you can hear him breathe from across the room, it's not meditation because he's in your space, even though it's way far away from my chair.
Yeah,
my chair is my chair. It's a beautiful, kind of not so beautiful chair. It's very comfortable. I have all my things I need there, and my meditation, my journal, everything is there, and I make time. And some days I go and it is chaos and I'm terrified of sitting there. And other days I go and I've been doing it for years, but I can just kind of get in and connect. And what do I connect to? Something greater than myself. We all feel so alone during this pandemic, possibly. I talked to women last night when I was doing a group that are 80 years old and are in their houses by themselves, and my heart breaks for them because they can't see their grandchildren and they can't see their family, and they spent these high holy days alone. And I just want to cry for them, and what I want to do is tell them, I know that physically you feel alone, but I know that spiritually you are not alone and that you can connect with the God inside of you. Call it whatever you want, the divine, whatever. But that is the first step in sitting long enough to see that there are depths inside of us that will help us to feel less alone.
It's the first thing in the Torah and the Bible that is called not good, right? And not good doesn't mean just not good. It means destructive. And what does it say? Lo tov heot adam levado. It is destructive for a person to be lonely. And that really, I just bring it up because it is destructive to be lonely. It is not destructive to be alone. And if you are alone and you have no other, you have no connection, you have no source, the source connection, then you're going to be lonely. And so the only way, as sometimes we are absolutely alone, like COVID,
right.
And some people are absolutely cut off, but loneliness is something else.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about, and finding ways to transform the loneliness into connection.
Yeah, you know, something that I remembered yesterday when I was talking to somebody, and I said, and they asked me, like, well, then what is the first step to connect with the divine or something deeper than yourself? And I said, well, what comes easiest to you? And what we figured out was that reading is a really good source for this person, right? She loves to read. And so we talked about this idea because I love to read. And I have found the greatest source of the divine through books because I love to know things. So what I do is I take a book that I'm interested in and I flip it open to pages that I think I just ask for guidance, and I flip the book open and I start reading, and I take notes, and pretty soon I embody the information in the book. It's about the divine or this idea that we're not alone. It doesn't matter. Pick a subject and then make it your own and use YouTube. I mean, let's make this easy. Go to YouTube and download some meditations that interest you.
Yeah, you know, this is spiritual practice. There's just this wall people have around spiritual practice and make it into a castle with a moat and guards and everything.
Right.
You know, holy text can
make
be
it easy.
Something that speaks to your soul. Holy pathways can be YouTube, right? All YouTube is not the same. All books are not the same. Find something that speaks to you and utilize it as a pathway to connection. And then you're bridging that gap over loneliness.
Exactly. Like some people, they join classes, which you can do on Zoom. And from there, they learn from other people and they begin. But this is the step that we miss. So we read our books, we listen to our YouTube, and then we go to our classes. That's all great. But we're using outside sources still, right? So the most important thing is what we said in the beginning, is to make time for yourself, is to sit and get your knowledge, gather it, and then close your eyes and take some deep breaths and feel your heart beating and check in with yourself and ask yourself, why are you here? What is coming up for you now? Feel into yourself for that guidance.
It's a huge point, because so often we think that it's about, you know, our morning of life rules, and the world we live in rules is accumulate. Right? Go out and accumulate. More is better. More right. money, more whatever. And with knowledge, it doesn't work that way, because you get to a point where you have more, but you haven't received it. And that's what the highest level in Jewish mysticism is, Kabbalah, which just means receiving. Mm-hmm. There's a great teaching about a student in the Talmud who's just gone through the Talmud over and over. And the old wise sage says, that's great. You've been through the Talmud many times. How many times has the Talmud been through you? Mm. Have you internalized what you're reading? Have you embodied it, which is an Ariella word you use a lot?
Yeah.
Right? Are you living the text? Have you become the text, the YouTube text, the book text, the holy text? Are you living it? Because that's the moment when things start to shift.
I think ultimately we need to remember, like, this just hit me. So when we run around in our minds and in our fears and in our judgments of meditation, of the world, of each other, of ourselves, we have lost love. Like, if you can't believe in God, or you don't know what that is, do you believe in love? That is the reason why we're here. And when we get caught up in the BS and in the fears of life and the craziness of 2020, we have forgotten that we are love.
Our purpose, and we are loved.
Yes. I was just going to say, our purpose is to be love and receive love and give love.
You going to break out in a song?
I might. I feel very passionate about this today. But it is true.
It's true.
And the source of love comes from our souls, comes from the divine. We are a source of abundant love. See, when I say that, how do you feel?
I feel good. I feel loved.
You, my husband, are a source of abundant love.
I told you. Yes. And I think part of that, too, is, you know, I work on myself and the people I guide with this. You can only hold two primary emotions, qualities, divine attributes at the same time: fear and love. The moment you have fear, love has left the room. And so it's about going inwards to get to this place where you can hold that love. And when you do, I'm gonna end my side, and then Ariella will have the final word as always.
Of course.
Dr. Frankl, who I try and work into every conversation, has this amazing quote many of you know: between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our freedom and our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our happiness. In that space, when the isolation starts to set in, and when the feelings of loneliness and the outside world and the noise, to shut it off, to shut it down, to go inwards and to cultivate that place of love and respond from there. No matter what's impacting you on the outside, I have only seen in my life and the life of those whom I guide that good comes from going through this process of going into that space and feeling the love.
And I'll end with this idea similar to Baruch's, but this idea that is what we hate and fear in others is what we hate in ourselves. So if we could stop looking outside ourselves and hating and fearing and judging the world around us, the people in power, the people doing the things that are wrong, even if we are justified in that hate and that fear, if we could take back our power and heal ourselves and release the obsession to focus on the outside world, even if they deserve it, then that is love. Then we can love ourselves first, and we can heal ourselves, and we can look at our own hatred of ourselves, our lack of acceptance, and our own fears. Then we will own our power. And then when the winds blow outside of us, they will not blow us down because we will stand in the wind in full love. That is a place of empowerment.
Amen, sister. So with that, we're going to end. We're going to, as always, just remind you that if you enjoy this podcast, we're starting to build some momentum. We're on many different platforms. You can find us at Stitcher, at Apple, at Spotify. The list goes on, but wherever you find us, if you would leave us a 5-star review, that would help us start to build momentum and share the link with anybody you think would benefit from this conversation. We are now revamping our website. Soon it's going to be a new website. I'm really reflecting who we are and what we're doing and what we're offering you. And we're offering you opportunities to work with us. Ariella is the guide, or the healer. I'm the guide in the Afternoon of Life. And you can learn more about us at mysoulcentered.org. Don't forget the mysoulcentered.org. We'd love to offer you complimentary discovery sessions where we can help guide you and get you on the path to wherever it is you need to go. And so with that, I think we'll say
namaste, everyone.
Shalom, salam, peace, and namaste.